Paul gives his final important instructions to his readers. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, morning, friends. How are you doing? Everybody alive and well? Alive? Not sure you're quite well. Okay. Well, look, we are well and truly into 2019. So who feels like you've got this year all sorted? It's all in the bag. You know, life's making sense. Your health is good. You've got your plan in place. 2019, you got this, yeah? Hands up for everyone in that boat. Oh, I'm loving this. Fabulous. Thank you. Wonderful. Okay, so what about the other side of things then? Who feels like they are just barely hanging on by a thread? Be honest. Okay, well, we're going to pray for you right now. Let's pray. Father, life is wonderfully complex and messy and tricky and joyful and extraordinary and life-giving and painful. Father, if we're just barely hanging on by the fingertips, Lord, would you come and hold us this morning? If we're just barely clinging to your word this morning, would you come and enforce your word within us? If we're finding it hard to recognize your love today, would you pour out even more of your love onto us, that we would have no doubt of who you are, that you are the Christ, that you are the Lord, and that you change all things. Amen. Can I just remind you that we always offer prayer ministry as part of our worship to God together on a Sunday. So take advantage of this. There are people here desperate to pray with you this morning. They're going to be over here during our last song after the sermon today. So when you see them come up, this is your invitation to come up for prayer. If there's something you'd like deeper, further, just more prayer for, or someone just to pray with, take this opportunity, come forward on my left, and you will find some folk there waiting to pray with you. Be bold. Make the most of this opportunity. So, 2019 then. Did anybody make a New Year's resolution? Any New Year's resolutions? How's that going? Anybody dare share their 2019 resolution with us? Come on now. There's got to be a couple out there. Okay. Folks, I understand. I'm not really a resolution person myself. The very concept of making a yearly resolution, it's more like a daily event for me. But I do come back to these verses from Isaiah every year. As I start the beginning of the year, I come back to these verses from Isaiah. So I'm just going to read them to us this morning. Listen. Isaiah 58, verses 6 and on. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and to turn away from your own flesh and blood, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will raise up in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. That's about as close as I get to a New Year's resolution. And even as I read it, I know I'm going to miss the mark. I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to stuff it up. I'm going to trip over and probably in the process cause others to stumble too. I am fully human and fully messy. And I am thankful to God that this thorn has occasional roses. Because the only holy thing within me is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's it. Other than that, all mess. Every time you look at me, remember that. Mess. And I'm not even going to preach on this passage. I'm not going to preach on this life-changing call from Isaiah. And I do suggest you go home and dwell in it richly. Read it again and again and again. Take some time. Because this passage asks one of the central questions of the gospel. And I'm going to use this to prepare us for chapter 4 of Paul's letter to the Colossians. I mean the Colossians. Bless you, Pete. See, I do listen. And the question is this, and it pertains to all that I've asked about New Year's resolutions, etc. What will you spend yourself in 2019? Smack in the middle of Isaiah 58 is this verse, verse 10. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. What will you spend yourself in 2019? And notice, because it's nuanced and deeply important, that the language is spend yourself in, not on. This is not about outsourcing. This is not about giving just to enable somebody else to do it. This is about being fully, physically, completely involved in meeting the challenges of the needs that we see. It's about us being involved. What will you spend yourself in 2019? Now, as a younger man, as a boy even, my relationship with money was hand to mouth. I spent much of my time trying to get it, and as soon as I got it, I spent all of my time trying to spend it. My mother would say, "That money's burning a hole in your pocket." Anybody else know that phrase? Great. And she'd say to me things like, "You can only spend it once." Anyone know that one? Well, here's the truth, friends. You can only spend it once. What will you spend yourself in 2019? Well, here comes our passage from Colossians, and it's page 1184 of our church Bibles. Do open them, please. Do get Bibles out. If you'd like a Bible, stick your hand up, and someone will come to your rescue with the Word of God. What a great rescue gift. Anybody need a Bible? If you're sat near Bibles, can you take them out to people, please? We are here to open God's Word together. Great. Anybody else need a Bible? There's a hand up over here, so if we can get a Bible into the center, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Any more for any more? Red hot, Word of God. Get it while you can. So, it's here that Paul urges ourselves to spend ourselves to devote ourselves to prayer. So that's my goal. In 2019, I will spend myself in prayer. I will devote myself to prayer. Why? Because I believe, because I know, because I've experienced, just as Isaiah had experienced, that devotion to prayer breaks the chains of injustice, feeds the hungry, shelters the homeless, clothes the naked. Devotion to prayer causes light to break forth in our lives, brings healing, please, Lord, establishes God's righteousness within us, so that when we call out, he replies, "Here am I." That devotion to prayer takes our pointing fingers and our malicious talk, and it redeems them into open hands of worship and love letters to God. That devotion to prayer, as we commit to the business, power, and purpose of talking with God, of kneeling with Jesus, of being led by the Holy Spirit, that devotion to prayer will lead us to spend ourselves in behalf of the hungry and in satisfying the needs of the oppressed. That is why I will spend myself in prayer. And I urgently encourage you to do the same. And what do we get in return for this spending? That's how it works, right? We hand our spend over and something happens in exchange. Well, the idea of a return on this spend isn't really what this is about, but there is a transactional element here. Because the passage from Isaiah said, we will get illuminated, we will get light, bright, clean, warm light in the darkness. We'll have the Lord to guide us always. We will discover satisfaction, strength, refreshing, and together as God's people, we will rebuild and restore the landscape of this place. Through prayer, together we will change the landscape of Barnstable and North Devon. All of this through devoting ourselves to prayer. What will you spend yourselves in 2019? Devote yourselves to prayer. Well, thanks, Ben. That's great. But prayer is this amorphous, messy beast that I don't even know where to start or begin. I don't dare open my mouth in public because I wouldn't know what to say. Well, let's look back at Colossians for some practical advice then. And it starts with, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. What can you see going on around you? What can you feel going on within you? Pray for it. Pray about it. Let the world and the Holy Spirit at work in the world guide you and prompt you. And this business of watchfulness speaks to this external visual that we see, but it also speaks to a deeply personal, internal, intimate thing that we feel. So what good things do you see and sense and feel in your life? Well, we're to give thanks to God for them. So we're going to do that together right now. As people who are watchful, we're going to start off with watchful, we're going to move on to thankful. What do we see in the world around us that we need to pray for? What's prompting you to pray this morning? Hands up, I'm coming your way. Tim.
The homeless problem in Barnstable.
The homeless problem in Barnstable, absolutely. People without home, family, shelter, food. Okay, let's pray for that right away. Father, we see folk who have nothing. We see the doorways of our high street full with sleeping bags and plastic bags and makeshift shelters, and that's not okay for your kingdom. We thank you for those who are there working. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for street pastors. We thank you for countless other organizations there, but we ask for more. We ask for more provision for those who have nothing. We don't need to judge them or know the reason as to why they're alone or why they're abandoned, whatever it might be. But we do need to hold them before you, Father, and ask that you would bless them. So would you bless those who are homeless and without place to call their own today? Amen. What else do we need to pray?
Revival in North Devon, Barnstable. Here.
Revival in North Devon?
Or here, yeah.
Is that like just people generally waking up from sleep or something more than that?
Finding our precious Lord.
Finding our precious Lord. Revival. Folks, do we want to see that? Do you want to see the church come back to life, the bride of Christ in full flourish? That's what I want to see. Let's pray for that. Lord, we just ask for more of you. In a minute, we're going to come on to the passage and it's going to talk about opening doorways, opening ways that we can let you be heard, that you would be heard. So, Father, we just pray for more of you in Barnstable. Pray for more people coming to know you miraculously. Would you just continue to reach out and call your children home? Amen. Hello.
Hello. Children.
Children.
And all of the media and everything, they're swimming upstream all the time.
So the pressure on our kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's pray for that. Father, in every generation, there's been something that youthful young people have found hard. And right now, it feels like our children are bombarded 24/7 with info that they probably don't really need, with image that they certainly don't need, with aspiration that is nothing of you. So we ask, Lord, that you would help us. Would you help Mike? And would you help Sharon? And would you help their teams create beautiful environments of encouragement for our young people? Would you help our young people to be people who change the flow, who stand alongside their peers and say, do you know what, that's not good for you, but I can show you who is. Jesus, would you change the pace of things? And would you draw our young people into beautiful relationship with you? Amen. What about a couple of thankfuls? It would be good to have a couple of thankfuls. What are we saying thank you to God for? I'm going to just quickly say thank you to God for new life and for babies and for children. So we're going to pray that. Lord, we thank you for this child and for all the children that have come into being in this church. We thank you that you bring new life to our church. And we do ask at the same time, Lord, that you would hold and love and bless those who are waiting and waiting and waiting for that new life to appear. Lord, work miracles in their life. Increase the family of our church together through the birth of beautiful young children. Amen. What else? Thanks. I'm looking for a thanks. There's a thanks.
To thank the volunteers who help the refugees in war.
Thank you. So there are countless volunteers who work across multiple organisations, giving of themselves. And do you know what? There's an extraordinary number, like something in excess of 90% of people who volunteer across our nation are people who come from faith backgrounds. So let's say thank you to God for them. So Father, we thank you for all those who are stirred up by your word and stirred up by your model that you've given us to live. And we thank you that you change the world around us through calling normal people into action. We thank you for that. Amen. You know, prayer is a wonderful, profound, practical thing. Isn't it great to pray together? Great, in which case you'll be delighted to know that the stand, our Thursday evening gathering to prayer, will kick off again, not for a while, not until Maundy Thursday, just before Easter. But because it's so good to pray together, I look forward to seeing all of you there. Blessings. Thank you, friends. Well, this letter continues in verse 3. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Okay, so let's deal with the glaring non-comparable. We are not in physical chains. But we can pray for brothers and sisters who are. And there are brothers and sisters all over this world who are in chains for their faith. And actually, we do live in a culture that uses ultra-contemporary chains of censorship and appeasement, where the truth, potency, and power of Jesus' life-changing, person-transforming mystery and salvation, where his rugged cross is reduced to fairy tales and quiet, smooth, highly polished crosses that we wear as fashion accessories. Now, I exaggerate, but not by much. And I do respect, I am not having a pop at those who wear that cross as a deep sense of their faith. Go for it. But to reduce that rugged cross to a fashion accessory, nah. But Paul's instruction is clear. Pray that God creates openings for the message and gift of Jesus to be heard and received. And on the days when you're reading the Bible and it all seems a little too much and a bit too mysterious and a bit too hard to comprehend, do you know what? Paul thinks the same. It's great. It's why he says it's the mystery of Christ. It is difficult in that sense. In another of Paul's letters to the Corinthians, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So then, back to spending ourselves in prayer, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Do you know what? Let's do that again right now. We're all going to pray as a church, but it'd be really great if one or two of you could just pray that out loud for the family of our church. That we're praying that God would open doors for his mysterious message to be proclaimed. And let us also remember those who are in physical chains today because of their love of Christ. Let's pray that now. Just call them out, please. We're going to be rapid fire. You're going to have to shout. Yeah, no more fear. Thank you. The oppression in China. Yeah. And Father, we ask that you would open multiple doorways in our relationships, in our lives, where the gospel might be communicated. We pray that you would open up extraordinary chance meetings with people where your word and your love might be shared. We leave it with you, Father. We will play our role, but we ask you to make the openings. Amen. Well, verse 4 continues, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You see, Paul recognizes that this mysterious, foolish message of Jesus and the cross is hard for many to understand. It's not that it's difficult or that you need to be a brain surgeon. It's just that it's the opposite of all that the world says. Because the world is saying get, gain, gather, greed, and grab. And Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection all say give, go, grace, grow, guide. And to understand and receive the mystery of Jesus, we have to suspend the carnival of the world around us, which is why we pray to seek the openings where Jesus might be fruitfully proclaimed. And we pray to ask God's guidance so that we might communicate it in ways that the world understands. This is just one method, but you are all kind of members. You're insiders. You're part of this family. This message makes some sense for us. Let me tell you, this way of communicating makes very little sense to the majority of the world. Bless you for your patience. But this is where we all come in. This is where every single one of us has a role, because how we live, act, behave, love, serve, and seek, all of that reveals a window on Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are praying, walking, advertisements and invitations to the goodness and power of God at work within us. And so Paul says, pray that we may proclaim it clearly as we should. So once more, we're going to pray that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us live lives that make sense to the world around us? We long to be your difference. We don't want to be different just because we want to be a bit wacky and upset people and push people away. We want to be your difference. We want to be your truth and love difference. We want to be your grace and kindness difference. We want to be your hands and feet missional difference. And we want to speak truth from your gospel of truth. Amen. So how are we going to live, act, behave, love, serve, and seek in a way that proclaims clearly and lovingly Jesus' saving power at work in us and in the world? Well, verse 5 offers us this. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Now, Paul clearly recognizes that we who know Christ in us, the hope of glory, have something different going on. But we who know and are known are not called into little ghettos of Christian conversation and behavior. You see, the great challenge, the tragedy is that there are so many people outside of the community of Christ. But to me, this verse explicitly guides and directs us to be in places and spaces and relationships where we are in conversation and share life with those who do not yet know Jesus. And we're called to be wise in the way we live and act towards these sisters and brothers who do not yet know the overwhelming, never-ending, relentless love of God, so that they might taste and see and smell and hear and feel that the Lord is good. So before you unleash that blistering chastisement against your work colleague about their errant lifestyle, stop. Pray for the door to be open. Pray for words of clarity and love. Pray for wisdom and then milk it. Work it like you've never worked anything in your life before. Listen to them with every sinew and nerve in your body. Hear the cries coming out from their life. Respond to them. Make the most of every opportunity. That's what it says. So much will come our way if we pray and ask for it. And then we are to milk it. Make the most of every opportunity. And by the grace of God, wring it dry. Well, that's it then. We've got it covered. We're devoted to prayer, spending ourselves in prayer for others. This church will be fuller than it is. Our finances will be in impeccable order. Building projects will run swiftly and smoothly. Sorted. But hang on just a moment. Because there seems to be one verse that I've missed. Shall we just have a casual glance maybe at verse 6? Let your conversation be always full of grace. Oh, bum, I have messed that one up at least 100 times this weekend already. Seasoned with salt? Well, that just sounds a bit like a human chip then. So that you may know how to answer everyone. But what if I don't want to speak to anyone, let alone answer everyone? Verse 6 is a tall order. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When we speak to each other, with one another, psychologists tell us that there is so much more going on than just words. As Jesus people, when we speak with each other, grace is at work between us, over us, through us, and for us. But when we speak coarsely, we shove grace away. When we as Jesus people are overheard speaking maliciously or seen pointing our fingers accusingly by wary, cynical, hurting, in Paul's language, outsiders, then we shut down grace We close the door for God's message. We muddy and pervert the clarity and perfection of Jesus' love, and we abandon hard-won wisdom. That's why this verse is here. It's both a warning and an encouragement, because the flip side of this picture is that when we speak to each other full of grace, when we liberally sprinkle salt amongst the food of our conversations and lives, people hear and see love and truth. They see love that forbears with one another. Truth that upholds and restores each other. Grace that opens doors, breaks chains, and proclaims clearly the wonder, the mystery, the joy of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we will find that we are able to answer people not only with words, but with hands and feet and food and clothes and shelter and ears to listen and hearts to empathize and prayer to transform. What will you spend yourself in 2019? Spend yourself in prayer. I'm just going to pray now, and as I do, the worship band are going to come back up to lead us in our last song. And I'm just going to ask them if they just let it play for a moment and let it roll over us. And then when you're ready, kick on in and we'll join you. But we're just going to wait a moment and let the Holy Spirit work amongst us. Let's pray together. Father, they're easy words to trip off the tongue. I'm going to devote myself to prayer. But they're not easy to live out on a daily basis. So, Holy Spirit, would you give us the ability, the tenacity, the strength, the vigor to devote ourselves to prayer this year and every year. Lord, we want to see more of your kingdom come. We want to see doors open and friends and loved ones come to faith. We want to see this place changed and transformed for your good and your glory. And it will only happen by you. But you call us into a relationship with you. So would you help us to devote our lives to prayer? Would you help us to fill our language and conversation with grace? Put internal checks within us so that as we're spinning off into places of discomfort and non-truth, would you just stop us? Because we want to be people who speak your love and your truth and your grace and your mercy with everything that we have. Lord, we look to you. We look to you, Father. Lead us.